Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. It's good to hear all the conversation going on. I just want to welcome you, welcome to any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us this morning, and welcome to those who are worshiping along with us via the live stream. We're here this morning to worship the one true and living God, maker of heaven and earth, our creator. We come carrying burdens, feeling weak or worn out. Maybe we're filled with joy this morning. You just come this morning and receive peace and strength, releasing all those things that hinder you from worshiping God this morning. Listen to Psalm 18, verse 6. But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears. We can take hope in that God hears our cries to him. He hears what we say, what we pray, and he knows what we need. So receive hope from this morning and come and worship God for all his goodness, his love, and his mercy. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for hearing us when we cry out to you. Thank you for giving us hope in you through Jesus. It's an eternal hope. Fill us with joy as we worship you, the one who is worthy of worship. Awaken us to see you at work in our hearts, in our lives, and all around us. Show us your will for our lives. Each day, we praise and honor you, Lord, creator of heaven and earth. Thank you for giving us a way for salvation. We praise you, Lord, for your mercies that are new every morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just going to let you guys know, my voice isn't 100% this morning, so it's up to you guys to make it sound good, okay? So let's just praise God. Bring it from the hearts.
Thank you.
So now I will invite the ushers to come forward, and I completely forgot to invite you guys. Anybody that can, please stand. I just didn't even think about it the first time. So. And we're going to take this song to how it's usually done. Have the men sing the chorus first, and the women back us up right afterwards. So.
Sunday school this morning, you know that the topic today was prayer. So let us pray. Father God, as you taught us to pray, you are our Father who art in heaven, and hallowed is your name. And we do ask for your kingdom to come and your will be to be done. Father, today we want to take the time to honor and worship you. Father, we are imperfect beings, but created by a perfect and holy God who has created us for a purpose, and you have a plan for each one of us. Father, we thank you that we can be here together and worship corporately. Forgive us our sins and guide us in the way you have called us to be. We thank you that you have continued to meet our daily needs, and we just offer back a portion of what you give to us to do the work of your church, the work here in the community, the work of the EMM Impact Fund, and the work that EMM does. Father, we also pray for Tony and Pastor Tony to bring us your word, and that we can hear exactly what you have to share to each one of us. We thank you and praise you for all your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
This might be a new song for you, but it's called All My Hope.
I found fire for no more.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd invite the children to come forward. All right, guys, find a seat. So good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? You got lots of energy? Some of you have a lot of energy. Others look like they're sleeping yet. So what are we going to celebrate in a few short weeks? Christmas, right?
Yeah.
Are you guys excited for Christmas?
Yeah.
So why are you excited for Christmas?
Because it's
Jesus' birthday, yes. Why else are you excited for Christmas? Because you get stuff, right? But the reason we get stuff is because it's Jesus' birthday, right?
Yeah. You get presents.
You get presents, yeah. So this morning, I'm going to read Matthew 3, 1-6, okay? In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near." For he is the one spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, who said, "A voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight." Now John had a camel hair garment with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then people from Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the vicinity of the Jordan were going out to him. And they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. So, how many of you have ever eaten honey? How many of you have ever eaten locusts or grasshoppers? Yeah, I don't think I did either. So, yeah, you're kind of right. See, John the Baptist, he went out and he was in the wilderness preaching to people, telling them to repent of their sins and turn back to God. And he was baptizing people in the river. They would confess their sins and then be baptized. See, in the same way, just like John, the Holy Spirit does this to us. See the window? It shines just a little bit of light in that dark room. You can kind of see stuff in there, right? Well, see, the Holy Spirit shines into our hearts, preparing us to hear the message of Jesus. And when someone comes along, maybe it's a friend or a parent or a teacher or your pastor, and you accept Jesus into your heart, you know what happens inside your heart? The lights get turned on. And the Holy Spirit shines fully inside your heart. Look at all the stuff in that room. You can easily see it, right? But as we grow closer to God and our relationship with Him gets stronger and deeper, God likes to go into the corners and clean out all the gunk. Ugh. Sometimes there's gunk in the corners that God needs to continue to clean out and make us more like Him. So maybe God will use you as the person like John the Baptist who tells someone about Jesus. Okay? So if your friends ever have questions or anything, speak up and tell them the name of Jesus. Talk about Jesus to them. But just like in that picture where that's like the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. I think there might be another slide yet. Oh, see? Those guys are talking. You can just share with your friend about the Holy Spirit or about Jesus. And they can accept Jesus into their hearts because you spoke up and you said something. But just like that one picture where the light was shining in the window, you'll feel that in your heart. Like, boy, I really want to ask Jesus into my heart. And so I'm going to ask you this morning, is God speaking to you, asking you to come to Him and accept Jesus as their Savior?
Yes.
Yes? Well, that's a good thing. And if He's speaking to you this morning, I want you to tell your parent or the person who brought you here to church this morning, and tell them, because I want them to pray with you to ask Jesus into your heart. So you do that. Now, we are celebrating Advent, which is we're leading up to Christmas, preparing our hearts for Christmas, what the true meaning of Christmas is, and that is Jesus coming to earth as a baby. So would anybody like to light the candle for Advent? We'll go with Jansen this time. We're going to light that candle, and this one, you just got to squeeze it, and then it should light. Let me help you. There you go. All right. Thank you. So now I'd like to have a prayer for you guys, and then you can have a snack and head back to your seat. So you pray?
Yeah.
Dear Jesus, just be with these children. Put a hedge of protection around their hearts and minds and help them to remember you as the true reason for Christmas. I just pray that you would speak to their hearts and shine the light. I pray that they would be ready to accept you as their Savior. And I pray that someone would be bold enough to speak it into their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can have a snack and head back to your seats. Well, I welcome you in the name above all names, name of Jesus. Thank you for your prayers on my behalf as I prepared this message. I appreciate them very much. I would like to spend a few moments in prayer today for Alvin and Anna Mae and their whole family. Alvin was taken to LGH on Friday. They thought possibly a stroke, but the doctors have ruled that out. And so the family have some decisions coming up that they have to make. So I'd like to spend some time praying for them. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for how you have been working already. That you have been so close with Alvin and Anna Mae and their whole family. I just pray that you give them wisdom and discernment as to what they should do. Give the doctors wisdom as well. I pray that you would continue to pour out your peace in the situation and just shower down your love and joy and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I had visited Alvin yesterday and Anna Mae, and they wanted to thank you for your prayers that you have offered up on their behalf already. They truly feel God working. There's so many things that have gone on that you can see God's hand in the situation. And this peace that they had, it's just amazing. You can tell God is there working this peace in the whole situation. Alvin said he felt too good to be in here when he was sitting in the hospital room. So he was joking and he had a very good attitude. So thank you for your prayers. They truly work and God is at work. Keep praying because it is a powerful weapon. So it's December already. I'm not sure how that happened. It seems to be going very fast this year. So as we're getting closer to Christmas and celebrating the birth of Jesus, and as we progress through Advent, take time to do a personal inventory. Take some time quietly, search your heart, and ask God to search your heart, and look at your motives. Why am I celebrating Christmas? What's going on in my heart? Am I celebrating Jesus' birth, or am I just going through the motions and doing stuff because it's that time of year? Take time to reflect on the true meaning of Christmas. Because Jesus is the reason for the season. Our message is titled, Prepare the Way of the Lord. And we're going to look at the book of Isaiah, and it's filled with a bunch of prophecies and judgments against Israel. There's a lot of doom and gloom in here, but we're going to look at some of the hope-filled verses in this chapter. And this is kind of going to be our umbrella for the day. We're going to look at a set of verses, and then we're going to come back to them later. And just keep that in your mind as we go through. So, Isaiah 1, 1 to 11. I'd invite you to turn to that. Then a shoot will grow from the stump of Jesse. A branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and strength, a spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight will be in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes. He will not execute justice by what he hears with his ears, but he will judge the poor righteously and execute justice for the oppressed of the land. He will strike the land with a scepter from his mouth, and he will kill the wicked with a command from his lips. Righteousness will be a belt around his hips. Faithfulness will be a belt around his waist. The wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf, the young lion, the fatted calf will be together, and a child will lead them. The cow and the bear will graze, their young ones will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like cattle. An infant will play beside the cobra's pit, and a toddler will put his hand into the snake's den. They will not harm nor destroy each other on my entire holy mountain, for the land will be as full of the knowledge of the Lord as the sea is filled with water. And on that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will look to him for guidance, and his resting place will be glorious. On that day, the Lord will extend his hand a second time to recover the remnant of his people who survive from Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, Shinar, Hamath, and the coasts and the islands of the west. This chapter gives us hope. The picture on the front of your bulletin kind of gives you a visual, a shoot growing from the stump of Jesse. They're talking about Jesus coming again as a king to reign forever. God is pointing to the future, and in these verses, preparing a way for us. God in his goodness is using Scripture to continually show us he is working ahead. He's not trying to catch up. He's not procrastinating. He's working ahead. Here's some more verses. In 1 Chronicles, David wants to build a temple to worship God in. This is a noble thing that he wants to do. And Nathan says, go ahead. You're the king. It seems good to me. But Nathan didn't go and ask God what he wanted. And God had to stop Nathan and send him back to David to tell him that David is not the one to build the temple, that it's going to be his son. So we're going to pick up in 1 Chronicles 17, 11 to 15. When your time comes to be with your fathers, I will rise up after you, your descendant, who is one of your sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will not remove my faithful love from him as I removed it from the one who was before you. I will appoint him over my household and my kingdom forever, and his throne will be established forever. Nathan reported all these words and this entire vision to David. David should be filled with joy, right? that even though his heart had been set on building a temple for the Lord, that God is telling him that his son will build him a temple. His son will sit on the throne as king. And as a king, boy, you really did a good job if your son, the next generation, is also going to be on the throne as a king, because it means you secured your kingdom. But we see that with bad kings and good kings, that they secured the kingdom for the next generation. But this is something different. See, David prepared the way for Solomon to build the temple. He collected materials, he collected money, he drew plans, he, I'm sure, made models and everything. It was all ready to go. All that Solomon had to do was start the project. It was prepared for him to succeed. And in the same set of verses, God in his wisdom goes beyond human thinking of having a son following David's reign. God shifts it from an earthly perspective to a heavenly perspective, going from human years to eternal focus. God is telling us about Jesus, the Messiah, who will sit on the throne as king and rule forever. Other places in Scripture, we can see God's nature of how he prepares the way. And it's displayed in the account of Jonah, right? Jonah is told by God to go and share a message to Nineveh, to tell them to repent and turn back to himself. Jonah runs away, ends up in the fish, and eventually he gets to Nineveh, and he speaks the word of God to them, and they repent, and they turn back to God. God is continually working. He is making a path for his people. He is also making a path for us, making a way for us to be with him. Back in Isaiah 11, Isaiah goes on to tell us that the one that will follow, and that's Jesus, will be a spirit-filled judge who will be without bias. Wow. A judge without bias. Can you even think of what that will be like? He'll bring judgment and execute that judgment. And when he comes and has finished that judgment, we're going to have peace. Just like this picture. Those are picture from the verses 5 to 7 in Isaiah 11. I'm just going to read those couple verses again. The righteous will be a belt around his hips. Faithfulness will be a belt around his waist. The wolf will dwell with the lamb. The leper will lie down with the goat, and the calf, the young lion, and the fatted calf will be together, and a child will lead them. The cow and the bear will graze. Their young ones will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like cattle. I can't even fathom what that kind of peace will look like. And this just gives us a glimpse of what God is going to do and what he is doing now, because he is working ahead. I mean, he tells us thousands of years ago of what is going to happen in our future. God is working ahead. He's making a path for us. He's preparing it. In Matthew 3, 1-12, I use part of these verses as my children's message, and I'm going to start over in the beginning and read 1-12 all the way through. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near." For he is the one spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, who said, "A voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John had a camel hair garment with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then people from Jerusalem and all Judea and all the vicinity of the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the coming wrath? Therefore, produce fruit consistent with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We are from Abraham, as we have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that God is able to raise up children for Abraham from these stones. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is more powerful than I, and I am not worthy to remove his sandals. He himself will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing shovel is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff will burn with fire that never goes out." God in his wisdom sends John the Baptist ahead of Jesus, calling people to repentance, to commit to following God. Then he baptized them with water. God sends people ahead of the work that he is going to do. In Jonah, there was a harsh judgment coming, so he sent Jonah ahead of what he was going to do. He was warning the people what was going to happen. John the Baptist was going proclaiming that the long-awaited Messiah was coming, the one who would bring freedom to the captives, forgiveness of sin, and a way to eternal life with God. John was filling the role that God had him to do. He went ahead of Jesus, preparing people's hearts for when Jesus came. The other part of John's ministry was warning people that there was a judgment coming, just like Jonah did. See, warning of judgment, it's part of the preparation so that everyone, including us, if they don't have Jesus in their hearts and are producing fruit, that they'll be cut down and thrown into the fire or hell. The fruit is the evidence of the change that shows our repentance. See, our lives are devoted to God and turning away from sin. The fruit in our lives will show this. So are you producing fruit? John gives us the example of a winnowing shovel. You take the harvested grain to the threshing floor, then you separate the wheat from the kernels, and then you have a lot more work to do after that. You take the grain and you throw it in the air. The heads of the kernels of the wheat just fall back down, and you can see all the chaff blowing away because the breeze comes and carries it off. The grain or the fruit is good. It's the usable part. It brings nourishment. It brings strength. It gives us energy and refreshment. The shell or the chaff, it's not good to eat. Maybe some animals can eat it. The chaff is burned up or thrown away. And in the same way, we will be sifted and judged. So are we chaff or are we grain? Are we useful? Are we there to strengthen others and lift others up? Or are we being blown away like the chaff, separated and discarded? So we need to spend time looking at our hearts in this Christmas season. Are we wheat? Or are we chaff? Yet this is a small part of our focus because we definitely have to focus outside of ourselves. If we get caught up on focusing only on ourselves, that can be a problem. Just like John, he prepared a way for Jesus. As Christ followers, we are supposed to do the same thing. We're supposed to prepare a way for others to hear the gospel message of Jesus. We're supposed to work in tandem with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is working in people's hearts, shining into the darkness that is in their lives. Just like that picture I showed with the children's message of the light shining in the window. And at the right time, we can share the message of Jesus. Look at your own story. What were the promptings that you received before you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Who were the people in your life that shared Jesus to you that you remember? Wow. They spoke to me at the right time because the Holy Spirit was working. See, we need to be ready when the Holy Spirit prompts us to share with others. I remember sitting back there over about two-thirds of the way back over there. Some guy was up here speaking. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, and I accepted an invitation to ask Jesus into my heart. But when we wait and we don't speak up, this gives the enemy time to make us question, well, did I hear the Holy Spirit? Am I really supposed to say something to them? If you're unclear if you heard the Holy Spirit or not, just speak up and speak the name of Jesus into someone's life. Wouldn't you rather tell someone about Jesus and maybe the soil of their heart wasn't quite ready to receive it than miss the blessing and the opportunity to tell somebody whose heart was ready? I know I would. So if you don't know, share. Tell people how God has worked in your life. It doesn't have to be complicated. But we need to take that step of faith and prepare the way for Jesus in other people's hearts, just like John the Baptist did. See, we're not alone. We have the Holy Spirit in us. God is in us. Coming up, we have two great opportunities. The real reason for the season of Christmas is one, that's Jesus. And we have Easter coming up. It's not that far away. Two great times to tell people about Jesus. We can tell them about Jesus overcoming death as we celebrate Easter, giving us the gift of eternal life. And when we share the truth and prepare the way, God does something amazing. He goes ahead of us because He's always working ahead. He's never behind. We give the people the opportunity to say yes to Jesus or deny Him. And that's a great responsibility for us. For us to tell people about the joy that we have in us while we're walking through maybe the hardest times of our lives. So as we go through Advent and Christmas approaches, the joy that we should have in us should be overflowing because of what God has done for us. And as we head to the saddest day, Good Friday, when Jesus hung on the cross, and the most triumphant day when Jesus was raised from the dead on Easter, we should have this abundant joy. It should be flowing out of us. It shouldn't just be something that we're doing. We should be taking time to celebrate Jesus and celebrate what He has done for us and not get distracted by all the stuff that we need to do. So in closing, God has and is preparing a way for us to speak into other people's lives. He's preparing a way for us to reach out and proclaim the name of Jesus. All throughout God's Word, He is calling us. He is preparing us for us to come to Him
And then he goes a step farther and he charges us to go and do the same to others as people have done for us. Prepare the way. 1 Peter 3:15, but honor the Messiah as the Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Be ready, be prepared to share about the hope that you have in your hearts. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, you have been working since the beginning of time to prepare a way for us, to save us from being separated from you. You have given us the greatest gift, Jesus. Every day, continue working in us, preparing us to meet you. Show us who we can help, who we can go to and prepare the way like John did for you. Open our eyes to you at work in people's hearts and minds. Give us a boldness to take that step of faith and share about you, Jesus. Help us to see that open door. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen. I'd invite our worship team forward to lead us in a closing song.
I'm going to invite you guys to stand for this last song. And after everything Tony just said, let God know you have decided to follow Jesus.
I do have one quick announcement. You can stay standing, though. I just want to call your attention to our bulletin that next Sunday evening at 6:30 is our Christmas program. I'd encourage you to come out. Just that note's in our bulletin. We receive this parting benediction. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Share the hope that is in you with others. God bless you. You're dismissed. Go in peace.